I greet you all in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, that book that we just read a moment ago. I prepared this principally for the children, but I think there are lessons that each of us can take when we consider the life of Josiah. Josiah, chapter 35, verse 1, was the king of Judah. So you might be wondering, what's the difference between Judah and Israel? What happened? Well, if you turn back a few chapters, previously Israel was one nation. From Saul was the first king. Thereafter, David was the second king. Solomon was the third king. And if you turn a few chapters back to 2 Chronicles chapter 10, you see the son of Solomon. His name was Rehoboam. Rehoboam. In 2 Chronicles chapter 10, if you would, turn quickly. Today we'll be turning to quite a number of texts to help us understand the context. Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. He was the son of Solomon when he became king. He went to Shechem, verse 1, and all Israel came to him. And what happened? And they said, in verse 4, "Thy father, which is Solomon, made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, seize thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee." So meaning, Solomon gave high taxes and was a tough king. And he says, look, if you make it easy upon us, we will serve you. Rehoboam said, well, give me 3 days, let me think about it. Verse 6. And then he went to Solomon's advisors. Verse 6. And Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel shall you give me? What are you going to advise me? And they spake, the old man said, speak to him, if thou, verse 7, if thou will be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. That's the advice of Solomon's counsel of Solomon's advisors. But as it would, he wanted to seek a second opinion. Verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men that gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him and stood before him. And he said unto them, what advice are you going to give me? And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shall thou answer the people that speak unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shall ye say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Ah! Advice from his friends who grew up with him. Show them who's boss. Show them who's boss. Your father was a tough king. Be a tougher king and they will fear you. They will fear you. As it would, you know, Solomon was a very wise king. You heard of the wisdom of Solomon. And nevertheless, he had his own counselors. But Rehoboam, oh, what a foolish king. He chose to ignore the counsel of the old men who had the wisdom and chose the counsel of his friends who grew up with him. And consequently, Israel rebelled. Israel rebelled. If you go down further down the text, Israel rebelled and therefore Rehoboam fled down to Judah. So 10 tribes of Israel rebelled and the king they made was Jeroboam. And then the southern kingdom was Judah. So Rehoboam was the king of the southern kingdom that started the divided kingdom. So when you read in the scripture, king of Israel and king of Judah, set this context. King of Israel rules over the northern kingdom. The first king of Israel was Jeroboam, and the first king of Judah was Rehoboam. He looked after the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Now that wasn't the end of it, because the people of Israel had to go down to Jerusalem, which is in Judah in the south, every year during the Passover and the feast. When the kingdoms were separated, Jeroboam, a wicked king, wanted to make sure that the people would be loyal to him. So he built the golden calf. And he said, look, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. Because he was afraid that if they go to Jerusalem, which is down south in Judah, the people will be aligned to Judah. So he said, look, he built altars and the golden calf, like what was presented by Aaron at Mount Sinai. And said, these are gods, and worship them. And that was the beginning of idolatry in Israel. And he built these golden calves all over the northern kingdom. He said, look, you don't need to go down south. What foolishness that is. So what can we learn from this? You know, who do you seek counsel from? Who do you seek counsel from? In the case of Jeroboam, oh, I seek counsel from the people who grew up with me. I listen to my friends. Oh, the old generation, they don't know any wiser. Ah, but what foolishness, isn't it? What foolishness? Do you seek counsel from people? Will you seek counsel from people who are godly? Or will you seek counsel from people who turn you astray? And what foolishness. And today I will ask for those of you who are taking notes, perhaps you think about two or three things that you will learn from today's message that you consider and apply for your own personal benefit and for your personal growth. So that was the start of the North and the Southern Kingdom. We go back to Chronicles. Josiah was king at the age of 8. What was his family background? Well, just the chapter before, you will find that his grandfather was Manasseh, 2 Chronicles 33. Manasseh was a wicked king. He ruled at the age of 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and he began to reign. He reigned 50 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 3 of chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles. Turn it in and we'll follow through and give you some context as to why this is important. And he built again the high places where Hezekiah his father had broken down. He reared altars for Baalim. He made groves and worshipped them, all the hosts of heaven, and served them. Verse 4 of chapter 33. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall by name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So Manasseh was an idolater. He built houses for his false gods. And verse 6, worse, he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He worshipped Moloch. Moloch was the god where they offered children. Child sacrifice was given to Moloch. And he offered his children because he believed that this God would bless him. Oh, what a foolish and wicked king. He set a calf-graven image. And he was judged. How was he judged? Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh upon the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. So because of all the sin that he did, God judged him and brought him under captivity into Babylon. Verse 12, and when he was afflicted, he besought the Lord and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed. And God heard him and restored him. He repented and God heard him. After him was his son Eman, verse 21. Eman was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned only 2 years. So he reigned 2 years before Josiah became king. So he reigned when Josiah was 6 to 8 years old, right? And he did that, verse 22, which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father, for Amon sacrificed unto all the calf images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him, and they made Josiah king. So against this backdrop, Josiah was king at the age of 8. His father was an idolater, a wicked king. His grandfather also built idols. Towards the end, he repented. And from this background, think of what could have happened to him. He had no one to teach him about the Word of God. But in verse 1, the Word of God says, of chapter 34, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Right? Verse 2, I will park it aside. I call it the epitaph. We'll go through that at the end. How did he come to know the Lord? Verse 3, in the 8th year of his reign, when he was... So, at the age of 8, maybe the age of Jojo, about the same age, he was king, right? Thereabouts. In the 8th year of his reign, when he was about 16, about the age close to where Toby's age, he began to seek the Lord. How did he begin to seek the Lord? His parents were ungodly. His grandfather was ungodly. Oh, we thank God that he was preserved. He was preserved by God. And in the old days, they didn't have the Bible. In the old days, they depended on the high priest and the priest and the Levites to teach them. And I believe it's not recorded for us here. I believe that that's how he was exposed to the Word of God. And this is an important lesson, perhaps, to some of us here, some of us who teach in Sunday school. As you sow the seeds to the young people, as you sow the seeds to those who are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, perhaps one day they will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the age of 8, in the 8th year of his reign, verse 3, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of his father. The Word of God says in Timothy, right? Despise not thy youth. Despise not the age of small things. Oh, how God can use this young man, this young king. And indeed, this is the best king. And that's the reason why I chose the study of the book, study Josiah, because he was the best king of Judah. In the 8th year of his reign, he came to see the Lord. And in the 12th year, after he became a Christian, fruits of repentance. Not just faith alone, but fruits. What did he do? Verse 3. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. These were the ones that were built up by his father, his grandfather, and even all the other kings before him. And can you sense his zeal? He break down the altars of Baalim in his presence. Meaning what? He was king. He could have given a decree that, oh look, break it down. But no. He did it personally. He went in his presence. That's what it says, verse 4. The images that were on high above him, he cut down. And the grooves and the carved images and the molten images, he break in pieces. And make dust of them. Dust. Oh, can you sense the zeal, the hatred for all these wicked images? He break them down and make dust of them, and break them in pieces, and cast it upon the graves of them that sacrifice unto them. Oh, he hated all these images as much as God hates sin. Will we hate sin? Will that be our conversation? Well, we hate the things that turn us away from God. The things that draw our attention away from Him. Oh, this was the desire of Josiah. And he burned the bones of the priests upon the altars. Those that led people astray. Those that got people to worship after their false gods. In verse 5, he burned the bones of the priests upon the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim, verse 6, and Simeon. Now these are the cities in the northern kingdom. Remember I mentioned to you that he ruled after Judah and Benjamin in the south. So how is it that he went up to Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon? Now, Josiah ruled in around 640 BC, and by that time, the northern kingdom had fallen under captivity to Assyria. By that time, they were fallen under captivity because of their sin. And Josiah saw that. So he was able to go up north to Manasseh, a northern tribe, Ephraim, a northern tribe, Simeon, also a tribe, and therefore break down all these altars. These were the altars that were set up by Jeroboam in those days. And verse 7, and when he had broken down the altars and groves and beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout the land, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in those days, they didn't have cars. He was on horseback, and if you go on to Israel, you go on this journey. He did it personally. It was his personal mission to rid Israel of all the things that got the children of Israel away from worshipping God. How long did it take him? Probably a couple of years. The scripture didn't say so. But he took it upon himself. Oh, what zeal that he would, that the people would turn and repent. Oh, these are works worthy of repentance. And when you repent and turn to God, what is your experience like? Do you remember the time when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ? And when you were hot for Him? And when you desired after things, when you were zealous of the things that of Jesus Christ, and you would go and do all things for Him? Ah, this was what Josiah felt. That he would go all out and burn out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, will that be our language today? That we will burn out for Him. So, negatively, the first thing that he did, he cleansed as much as he could personally when he was age 20. In the 18th year, verse 8, let's go through now, verse 8 of verse chapter 34, in the 18th year of his reign, when 18 plus 8 means 26, that's about Joshua's age. When he was age 26, what did he do? When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and he and other people to repair the house of the Lord his God. So first of all, to cleanse the land of idols, and then the house of God was in disrepair. Why? Because people were worshipping all these idols. So negatively, he destroyed all these idols, and now positively, he had a love for the things that be of Jesus Christ. And he asked for the repair for the house of God, negatively and then positively, to repair the house of the Lord. Verse 8. And he brought out money from the treasury and he passed it to Hilkiah, the high priest. Right? And thereafter, you find that there's a lot of people involved. Right? In verse 10, and he put it in the hand of the workmen. They had oversight over the house of the Lord. Right? In verse 11, there were artificers and builders, and the people who built with stones, and there were Levites, and there were verse 13 and 14, people with instruments, and there were scribes and porters. All these were brought up for the service of the house of the Lord. What is the application for us today? Well, the Bible also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the body of Christ is made of many members, right? With the head, with the feet, right? Maybe very quickly, let's turn to it and we can consider the application to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very quickly as I read, as you turn your Bibles to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So the body of Christ had many members, right? Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot say, because I'm not the head, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear say, I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, is it not the body? But actually, the body has many, many functions. And the word of God for the church of God has given us many members. In verse 22 says, right? Much more than these members of one body seemeth to be feeble than necessary. But God had given us many members, many roles to play in the church. Some of us are pastors and teachers. Some of us are evangelists. Some of us are ushers. All of us have a role to play in the work of God. Yeah, some are talented to be musicians. But you might say, hey, what about me? I'm just sitting in the pews. Oh, would you not pray? Oh, would you not encourage each other? Would you not encourage the brother next to you? Would you not encourage the sister next to you? Or would you not encourage the young ones and be a good example to them? All of us have a role to play in the house of the Lord, in the work of the Lord, in the work of the ministry. And how, when the Lord calls these people for His service, and when the Lord calls you, will you not answer in response? Or today we will have an opportunity, we have a church cleaning, we have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Will you not offer your talents unto the Lord and serve Him to the best of your ability? As much as the people in those days in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, all these people, and what did they do? The word of God tells us very pointedly, verse 12, back to 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 12, and the men did the work faithfully. The men did the work faithfully. Is that what you would do when called upon to serve the Lord? How will you be faithful? Oh, faithful in prayer. Faithful in attendance. Or you are in the Sunday school. Will you attend and read and memorize the Word of God? Will you encourage your teachers? Oh, it will be so discouraging, isn't it? That nobody listens to the Word that is being taught. Oh, but would you not faithfully attend all the meetings? Oh, the Bible says the men that were called to the service of the Lord, they did so. Does it describe you? Does it describe your attitude towards God, that you will be faithful in all that the Lord has given you? And I pray that is what it describes you. And after he's gone out to repair the house of the Lord, oh, a blessing. They found the book of the law of Moses. They found a book, right? They found a book. And verses 8 to 14, after the repairing of the temple, verses 15 to 19, they found a book. The Bible doesn't tell us what part of the law of Moses that was found, right? It says that the book was found and was read before the king, and when he read and heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes and humbled himself and prayed. The Bible doesn't declare it. It does give us a hint further down when they went to the prophetess, and it says in verse 24, right, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. So it's a book where it describes curses upon Israel. And because of that, I did some research, and my personal understanding is that it's taken from Deuteronomy 27. So turn with me, it will give you some understanding of how Josiah felt when the curses and the blessings were given. So just before the children of Israel were to go into the promised land, Moses told the children of Israel, you were divided into two groups. Six were to go to one mountain, Gerizim, and another six were to go up to another mountain where they would be pronouncing blessings and curses as they entered into the land. Blessings when you honor the Lord. Blessings when you obey the word of God. Curses when you disobey the word of God. Curses when you dishonor God. And this is what the word of God says. Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, chapter 27. Right? And verse 4. Therefore, it shall be when ye be gone up over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in the Mount Ebal, which ye shall plaster them. Right? So they will put an altar, and upon these stones, they will worship God. Right? Verse 12, go further down. These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. So there was this group to bless the people of God when he had come over Jordan. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph and Benjamin. Right? These will stand on Mount Gerizim and they will bless the children of Israel. Verse 13, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan and Naphtali. So in the... And what are the blessings and curses? Let's read through the curses. Verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it on the secret place. And all the people answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father and mother. That means they dishonor the father and mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, who steals things. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, perverteth the cause of justice, the fatherless and the widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed shall be he that lieth with his father's wife, adultery, because he uncovereth his father's skirts. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, bestiality, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, bribes to destroy other people, and all the people shall say Amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say Amen. And likewise in chapter 28, a lot more curses, right? Verses 16 to 18, and what are the results of all these? Verse 20 of chapter 28, God shall send rebuke upon thee, cursing, vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption and with fever, and with inflammation, and with extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and thou, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Verse 25, and thou, and the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thee, thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. This is what Josiah heard, all the cursings. And he saw it with his own eyes, because the northern kingdom, I mentioned to you earlier, Israel, they fell under captivity. They fell under captivity of the Assyrians. Now, in the northern kingdom, there was not one good king. All the kings of Israel in the northern kingdom were evil kings. In the southern kingdom, there were some good kings. But he saw with his eyes, the northern kingdom, they fell in about 720 BC, about 80 years before Josiah reigned. And he saw the destruction in his own hands. And when he heard the word of God, our memory verse describes his response. What was his response? He humbled himself. He humbled himself before the Lord. What is your response when you hear the word of God? Will you humble yourself before God? Will you humble yourself and pray before the Almighty God? Or will you be as the scribe? Ah, that is so proud. Oh, I am not as other men. Thank God I'm not as other men. Oh, will you humble yourself and pray, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But this is his cry. And Josiah, then he was woeful. He knows that he has sinned. And therefore he cried and rent his clothes and he asked for someone to go. Go to the oracle and see what God would say of me. So they went and went to a prophetess. Time is running and I'll go very quickly. They went to a prophetess and the prophetess responded. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Tell Josiah the man to send me. Thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place. Yes. Judgment will come to pass. Right? Even all the curses that are written in the book. Because they have forsaken me. They have burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto them, thus saith the Lord. What does God say? Because, our memory verse, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heard the words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, he will pass away, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eye see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So, Josiah, because of his earnestness, he was bad. He was bad. There was a response. Right? The sin of the people was not right yet. Right? But because of the earnestness of Josiah. Now this describes the response of every Christian. Every Christian must humble himself before the Lord. Is this your conversation, my friends, this day? Have you humbled yourself before the Lord? Have you cried unto the Lord? Oh God, save me, for my sins are many. Oh God, turn me, and I shall be turned. Restore me, help me, O Lord. Oh, this is the call and of every Christian. Is this your language? And I pray this is what we will call upon Him. If you today have not called upon the Lord, will you not humble yourself to the Lord this day? Then what is Josiah's response? Repentance, right? He restored the house of God. And the third response, you know, about 60 years before this, something similar had happened. This was done by the prophet Jonah. Jonah was asked to preach to Nineveh in Assyria. Right? Jonah went away. But Jonah eventually went, that God would bring destruction on Nineveh. But because of the preaching of Jonah, the people of Nineveh repented. And the judgment was then stayed. So therefore, Josiah responded in a very similar manner. When he was given word from the prophetess, God will rain judgment. But because you, Josiah, have been faithful, you have humbled yourself, you have prayed, you are going to be spared the judgment. What did he do? He was not smug. I'm spared. But look to what the scripture says. Verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He gathered all the people, verse 30, And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, young and old, doesn't matter how old you are, from the youngest to the oldest, they all gathered, and he, Josiah, read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. He read the words, the word of God, that broke his heart, so that the heart of all the people themselves might be moved. Oh, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And as the word of God speaks and smites, he asked them this question, as Joshua asked the question, choose ye this day whom you will serve. If the Lord be God, serve him. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you serve the Lord? And that was the challenge that Josiah gave to Judah. And he has gathered them all. They are under the curse of God if they will not repent. And as he read the word, verse 11, right? He made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Now why did he do that? You see, salvation is personal. It's not just Josiah as a representative of the nation, but it's personal to every single one. And therefore Josiah got everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, to hear the preaching of the gospel. And so it is today. And I beseech you, my friends, if you have not called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, perhaps today will be the day that you will call Him and cling unto Him and bow down and humble thyself and humble yourself before Him and plead the forgiveness, plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will forgive you of your sins, and He will cleanse you and grant you a robe of righteousness, and He will call you my brothers and my sisters, and He will revive you. Oh, what a day this was. I don't know how you felt when you read this, but as I read this, oh, how my heart burned. What a great revival Josiah brought in the nation. And verse 32, and he caused all that were present in that day in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God and the God of their fathers. Oh, as we think about revival, will we not think of revival in our land? Oh, how England used to be the land of the Reformation, the land with the glimmer of hope for the Church of God. And yet, in today's age, how many have worshipped the God of the world? Oh, how they worship the God of unbelief. And the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. And they put not God in their eyes. Oh, how can we pray that there will be revival in our midst? Or how can we pray and turn? And what does it take? Oh, it takes a child made king at 8, made a Christian at 16, brought to the Word of God, and how he could inspire a whole generation of people to love God, to honor Him. And verse 33, he took away all the abominations of all the countries that pertaineth to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God in all his days, and they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. So in the day of Josiah, there was no judgment. Why? Because they followed after God. And therefore God held the judgment away from him. Unfortunately, after the passing of Josiah, his son, his grandson, they were wicked kings thereafter Josiah, and because of their sin, the Babylonians came and they fell under captivity. But under him, Indeed, there was revival. And therefore, I come back to the second verse, which I skipped. When I say I'll put it up to the end. Second verse of chapter 34 of Chronicles 2. Chapter 34, I call it Josiah's epitaph, right? Epitaph is, you know, when we, at some day, each one of us will pass on, right? And in our tombstone, you know, someone will write, Joey Siao, he was a loving father, a good husband. People who are remaining will write how this person was. Well, along near our home in Vauxhall, there's also the COVID wall, you know. There are people who write, oh, this so-and-so was a good father, etc., etc. Perhaps some of you will think about what your friends, your loved ones will think of you. But friends, what is most important is what God thinks of you. And this is what was written. And he did that which was right. His epitaph of Josiah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. What do you think God perceives of you today? What do you think God perceives of you today? And if you should pass on, will God say to you today, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Will God say to you, well, he was right, and turn not to the right, nor to the left? Oh, but if you're far from the Lord, that's all that matters, you know. You can fool men, you can fool your parents, you can fool your best friends, but dearly beloved, you can never fool God. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He knows the thoughts and intents of your hearts. He knows your condition. He knows our condition. And we cannot fool ourselves. So dearly beloved, I ask you this day, your epitaph, what will it be like when you see the Lord? Will the Lord say, he was right, and I welcome him into my heavenly kingdom with open arms? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Is that what God will say to you? Dearly beloved, if you are not sure, I pray that you will, like Josiah, humble yourself before the Lord. Rend not your garments, but rend your heart. Have a tender heart for the Lord. Oh, you may be in church for years and years, and you've heard the word of God preach, but has the word of God gone into your heart? Is it just words that go into your ears? Does it come and cut you? Oh, I pray today, if not any other day, let this be the day that the word of God will speak to you, that you will cry. And if you need someone to speak to you today, stay back and we're happy to share with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you turn to him, the word of God says, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, we are undone, except for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgive us all our sins, whose blood was shed upon the cross of Calvary for your sins and for my sins, and upon the third day was raised from the dead, a living God, that he might plead our case upon God's right hand. Oh, dearly beloved, today will you not, with a tender heart, turn to the Lord? Oh, indeed, this is a wonderful King of Judah. He is one who sought God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. Will that also be our example? And I pray that the word of God will speak to each and every one of us and cause us to love him more today. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee, O Lord, for the example of King Josiah. I pray, O Lord, that as we gather in this quiet hour, that thou wilt search our hearts. Thou knowest our condition. Thou knowest our secret sin, and nothing is hidden from thee. So therefore we pray, O God, that thou wouldst see if there be any wicked way in us, and cleanse us from our sin, and lead us in the way everlasting. Or if there be any, O Lord, this day, that do not know our Lord Jesus Christ, that are far from thee, oh, that thou wouldst turn upon that soul, that they might come to the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to have a greater zeal for thee. Help us, O Lord, to have a greater desire for the things that be of God. Oh, help us to repent. Help us to break down our own idols. Oh, the things that so distract us from thee, whether things of the world, whether it's the things of material things, or the things that do not last eternally. Oh Father, search our hearts. And we pray, O God, that thou hast grant us strength to be as Josiah, to even break down these idols, to cast them down, to even break them into dust, or to even cling unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, O Lord, answer our prayer. For this we cry unto thee through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.